TalkZone.com.
A streak of fire, a breath of flame, eluding all who reach and clutch. A gray ghost thrown into the game that rival hands may never touch. A rubber-bounding, blasting soul whose destination is the goal, Red Grange of Illinois by Grantland Rice. For many of us, names like Butkus, Nitschke, and Grange are more than mere players on a field. They represent the history, the glory, and the spirit of a university that has contributed so much to this country and has made our lives rich beyond anything we may offer in return. If Virginia belongs to Jefferson, then surely the land-grant legislation proposed and signed by Abraham Lincoln in 1865 gave birth to his home state university in 1867 and countless other institutions for the people, of the people, and by the people. We are the living legacy of Father Abraham's great institution. Sons and daughters of Illinois, our renaissance, in the words of Ron Gunther, is now. From Chicago, the greatest sports city in America, we are proud to bring you Talking Illini with Boz and Mr. G.
Happy Groundhog Day, Illini Nation.
By the way, Boz, breaking news. Punxsutawney Phil saw his shadow, 6 more weeks of winter.
Well, that's not good.
Breaking news.
Yeah, breaking with a capital B, you just break right into my intro.
That's what happens when you have breaking news. It's just got to be out there.
Well, it's beautiful today. Sunny, warm. So it's supposed to be warm all week. The snow is supposed to melt.
Let's see. On or about March 14th, you'll still be wearing your rubber galoshes. Illini hat and overcoat, Boz.
Okay, Roger Treemsta. Let's move on to Talking Illini. This is Talking Illini with Boz and Mr. G on TalkZone.com. It's February. We're halfway through the Big Ten basketball season. Football signing day is Wednesday. We're halfway through at 6-3, which I think I indicated would be the score. And we're sitting pretty. And Mr. G does not think we'll win 4 of the remaining 9 games to end the conference at 10-8. He's going to stick with his, he'll call it reality, I'll call it negativity, but he's got to be consistent, and I think at the beginning he had us at 500 at best, or maybe a game below, but I'm sticking with 10-8, and with a little bit of luck, 11-7. Wasn't a great week. Obviously, Minnesota was a terrible game. We didn't look that hot yesterday against Iowa, but we won, and we finished the half at 6-3. And before we get down to break it down, I want to tell you the fans can call and talk to us at 888-463-6748. Email us at talkingillini@yahoo.com.
We still have a few wildfire gift certificates left, so if we like your call or email today, you'll be getting a $25 gift certificate to Wildfire.
And we want to tell the fans also, we got a great cast of guests coming up at about 12:30. Mike Mullins, the founder and head coach and father of Brian Mullins of Southern Illinois, is going to be on with us. He, founder and head coach of the Illinois Wolves AAU program. And for those of you that don't know, that's the program that produced Dimitri McCamey for us and also Joseph Bertrand. And Coach Mullins has Jason Randall in his program, as well as, I can't pronounce the guy's name, the 6'9 sophomore at St. Ignatius. So we'll hear from Coach Mullins about those players and his program and how he runs it compared to some other AAU programs. We'll get the scoop on that. At 1:10, our good friend John Soupy Supini is going to join us. He was at Minnesota and, of course, at the Assembly Hall yesterday. And about 12:40, our friend from WGN and Comcast, David Kaplan, will make a second appearance. David's part of a group that puts together a couple high school events each year, one of which is at Welsh Ryan in Evanston on Valentine's Day night, February 14th. Two good ball games, Warren and Glenbrook North, and De La Salle with Shaw and is it Henley or Hendry? Dre?
Well, Henley, I believe.
Okay, and not to be confused with Jim Hendry, I guess, and North Lawndale. So David Kaplan will come on, and and tell us about those ball games and the program and how to get tickets. And Mr. G, one more thing. Well, sometime throughout the show, we got some great emails during the week. You know, from the article, the write up in Alumni Magazine. We're getting emails from
our
people.
Our devoted fans.
Yes, from all over the country. They're from upstate New York, from the east, from New Jersey, from all over.
From the Redwood Valley too.
To the Gulf Stream waters. I learned that song in third grade with one of the kids that emailed me.
But anyway,
I want to hand this to you. I attended the Northwestern Indiana game Wednesday night. I know you're all happy for me. But I saw something very interesting. It's not a program. I just stole this from one of the kids. They put these on the seats in the student section. It's a purple piece of paper, two-sided. It's got the rosters, the numbers, all that kind of thing. And for Indiana, they have Verdell Jones III, number 12, guard, 6'5", 176 freshman from Champaign, Illinois. I circled that. Tell the fans how the people in Northwestern spell Champaign, Illinois.
P-A-I-G-N-E. Okay, well, so much for the value of a Northwestern education.
I thought that was just kind of very cute and funny, and I knew you'd get a kick out of
that. They pass these out because they can't sell programs at Northwestern.
No, they do sell programs.
Well, but not of any quantity.
This is for the kids. But, yes, yeah, so
let's talk about last week. You know what? Let's talk about last week's games, because, really, if there was a low point in this season, it was last week. As badly as we played down the stretch at Michigan State, nothing prepared us for what we saw against Minnesota on Thursday night. I knew it was coming, and I said on our program last week, all streaks come to an end. This will come to an end. They're going to be pointing for this game. We're going to have a target on our back. The barn is going to be on fire, and we're going to lose this game. Before the game, I called our good buddy Bill Shiner, who's a basketball maven and passionately supportive of the Illini, sees the world through orange-colored glasses. I said, Billy, this is not a good day for us. We are going to lose by double digits. It's not going to be close. And the fact that this is a pick'em game with the bookies shows that somebody...
You're always going to the bookies to make you...
Somebody doesn't know what's going on here, because, quite frankly, we could see this one coming a mile away. And I've never in my lifetime, as bad as some of these teams were, seen a worse performance by an Illini team than I did last Thursday.
And what did
Thursday
Billy
night.
Say?
Billy had an uneasy feeling about the game, but thought that we could pull it out.
Well, let me tell you, I'm looking at the stat sheet right here, and the long and short of it is we shot terribly. You know, Minnesota only shot 40%. They only had two guys in double figures.
But our shot selection was terrible, too.
Well, you know, so we had one clunker out of the first, how many games? 20 games or so. It's one of those games, yes, we would have liked to have done better. You like to, you know, if you're going to lose, you like to lose by, you know, less than 5-4 points.
It was a
whatever.
Clunker of historic proportions. The only D1 team from a major conference to have scored 36 points in a game this year besides us is DePaul Blue Demons.
Against Northwestern.
Against Northwestern.
I was at that game, too.
So Boz, you've borne witness to two of the most fundamentally unsound games in college basketball this year.
Well, so are we gonna you know, pound our heads against the table about this? It was one game. It was two games ago. We came back and did what we had to do yesterday. We finished the half
Iowa
at
was
6-3.
Iowa was a struggle as well. I knew we would have a hangover from the Minnesota game. And why did I say this team was overachieving this year? When you asked me the question, what answer did I give you? Why were we overachieving?
Because the seniors were playing over their heads.
The seniors were playing over their heads. And what did we find out this week about the seniors?
I don't know.
When they don't play well, we're not very good.
Well,
and who didn't play well this week?
Well, you know, once the conference season has started, Meacham's numbers have gone down. I think Brock and Frazier have maintained some consistency.
Did you like that series yesterday where Brock had about 3-point blank putback?
Well, he padded
and
his rebounding stats.
And missed all three of them.
That's why he finished the game with eight rebounds.
What object did you throw through the television at that point? And three of them were on that play.
Right. But back to Minnesota for a second, just for a second only. You know, we came out missing pretty badly. They were clunkers off the rim, not even in and out. And my contention, I've said it all along, I'll say it till I'm blue in the face. We saw a little of it yesterday against Iowa. The way we run our motion offense, it looks like the number one goal is to get 15 to whatever the three-point line figure is, jump shots, with guys coming out away from the basket and curling around picks. I would love to see an initial look to someone cutting to the basket and a pass going forward to the basket as opposed to a pass going backwards or sideways. I would love to see a guy setting the pick, rolling hard straight to the hole and looking for the ball with his head kind of on the swivel back to the person coming around the pick. And I would like to see that ball handler coming around the pick looking for the roller first. So many times a guy goes around a pick and the guy setting the pick, whether it's Tisdale, Davis, whomever, they either stand there or they just kind of leisurely jog to their next spot in the motion, which isn't towards the basket, and they're not even looking for a pass.
When was the last time one of our bigs or smalls caught a pass in the lane, jump stop, and shot the ball from inside the lane?
Right. I mean, points in the paint, this is Minnesota, points in the paint was zero. I mean, when you come out shooting badly, you got to slow the tempo a little. And work it in to your bigs. And Tisdale has shown that he can hit that little baby hook, you know, going to his left over his left shoulder.
By the way, I think I disagree with that. I really think, and I agree with Kendall Gill, that we need to play faster. We need to play at a higher tempo. Iowa, and this I will give their coaching staff a lot of credit on this one, they controlled the tempo of the game on Sunday. We did not manage the tempo of the game. We played at their pace. And I really thought that we should have tried to speed up the pace of the game. We did not do that very well. We played at their pace. And because of that, we had a horrendous first half. We played at a little better pace in the second half, shot the ball better. I think that when we get mired down and we are using all 35 seconds of the clock shot, and we're going down to the end of a clock like that, and this is something that you've talked about as well, it's typically because guys are passing up open shots or they're not attempting to force the action.
I'm not disagreeing with you. Iowa plays like that every night because they're a little deficient.
But not everyone allows them to play at their tempo.
Right. I don't mind, and I want us to play up-tempo, but when we're playing up-tempo and missing as badly as we were at Minnesota, and when you're on the road in a hostile environment, you can't be totally one-dimensional. Sometimes you need to change the pace a little, and in this case, go inside. And I think you start inside out anyway. Excuse me. Even if you have a terrific three-point shooting team, there's nothing wrong with loosening up the whole court, spreading it out, and initially going down low, seeing if you could get some easy baskets, pick up some fouls on the other team's big guys, and then if that's not there, they could always kick it out.
You know, one of the things I was a little disappointed with yesterday is that Tisdale, he was able to get the ball down low. You know, he got some shots to fall. But I'd like to see him when the double team comes to him, and they did double him on a couple occasions yesterday, then kick it out to the shooters. Because there were a couple times where he had turnovers, he traveled on one occasion, he threw up a bad shot on another occasion. Those were times when the double comes to him where he couldn't split the double, just kick it out, and he may get it back again.
Well, absolutely. The problem is that there needs to be a little more structure Guys, guards on the wings know where to go. They can maybe get open with the help of a pick. And Tisdale knows where they're going to be. So he knows where to kick it out. Because everything is bang, bang, and timing. Whether it's the entry pass to someone coming open around the pick to get the ball in the paint and put it in. Or if it's the kick out pass. If it's not there at the right time in the right position for the guard or forward to receive it and catch and shoot, you know, split second is all it takes to either make it or break it. And if it's not there, the defense will have time to catch up. But
what did you like about this week? What did you see this week that made you say, you know what, this is a good sign for this basketball team?
Well, you know, the only thing I could say is coming out at the beginning of the second half yesterday against Iowa, and I think they hit the first 9 out of 10 or so. And again, even though we lost badly at Minnesota, Minnesota only shot 40% for the game. So we still play hard. We still play, you know, tough defense, give the other team problems scoring and getting good shots. And that's always been a trademark of Bruce Weber teams. And, you know, the other thing I think that'll come of this is that, you know, I expected also a better game yesterday against Iowa and maybe a larger point differential margin of victory. But, you know, I think the kids will realize and the coaches will be on them that, you know, especially the way the conference is shaping up, where Penn State goes to Michigan State and wins and Northwestern has won several big games now, that, you know, you can't just show up and expect to win. You know, you got to bring it every night. And I think that that's what we'll take out of this week. We thought worst case scenario, we split, we end it in 6-3. That's where we are. And we got a little tougher schedule the second half, maybe.
By the way, going into the year, a lot of people thought that the first half of our schedule would be tougher than the second. As it turns out, the second half will be a tougher schedule.
Well, because people didn't think that Penn State, Minnesota, and us would be right behind Michigan State and Purdue, ahead of Ohio State, Michigan, and Wisconsin, maybe. And then, of course, Northwestern, nobody expected them to right now be 4-5 in the first half of the season. And they're a fun team to watch. You know, again, it's always fun.
So for the record, I've got us going 3-6 in the second half of the Big Ten season.
Right.
And your prediction is that we'll go 5-4.
Well, minimum 4-5 to make us 10-8.
No, give me a number. Don't give me a minimum. Give me your number.
Well, on the conservative side, I'll say 4-5 will finish 10-8, and we'll be easily in the NCAA tournament. This is Talking Illini with Boz and Mr. G. Give us a call, 888-463-6748, or email us at talkingillini@yahoo.com. We can, you know, I mean...
By the way, let's thank our proud sponsors and take a short break here.
Okay.
Joe Rizzik Cars, Greg Fisher at Caldwell Banker Homes in Highland Park, SunTracker.com, Wildfire Restaurants located throughout Chicago, LPAC Athletic Club, Chicago Athletic Clubs. Am I missing anybody, Bob?
Stephen King, AXA Advisors.
Stephen King, AXA Advisors. So we'll be back in a moment after these messages from our fine sponsors.
Hey Illini fans, looking to win in the game of real estate? There's never been a better time to buy a new home. Interest rates are low, there are plenty of homes to choose from, and ultimately real estate is a great investment. Greg Fisher of Coldwell Banker Residential Brokerage is experienced, professional, and dedicated. As your realtor, Greg can help you find the perfect new home. Contact Greg today at 847-681-4173 or learn more at gregshouses.com. Buy or sell with the man who knows his X's and O's. Coldwell Banker Residential Brokerage is owned and operated by NRT LLC.
Step back in time when going out for dinner meant something really special. Step into Wildfire, a steak and chop house with the aura of a 1940s dinner club. Private and semi-private rooms offer a variety of options for any social or business event. Order from our supper club menu served family style. Try our horseradish crusted filet mignon or Wildfire's delicious cedar plank salmon. Dine at any of our 8 Wildfire restaurant locations. Visit us on the web at wildfirerestaurant.com to find a location nearest you.
You find the car you want at RizzoCars.com. RizzoCars.com.
It's true. You will. We'll find the car you want at RizzaCars.com. Over 6,000 new and used cars, trucks, and vans available online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It's so fast and so easy. RizzaCars.com is your one-stop auto purchase resource site. Build a new vehicle, compare up to 5 vehicles at once, access new vehicle reviews, take a new car video test drive. RizzaCars.com also offers easy-to-qualify online financing, which helps to make your purchase simple and fast. Shop 13 new car franchises, including Ford, Chevy, Cadillac, Buick, Lincoln, Mercury, Acura, Porsche, Kia, Hummer, and Saab. So if you're tired and frustrated of driving from dealer to dealer, just remember,
you buy the car you want at RizzaCars.com. RizzaCars.com.
Right, are we ready?
Yeah!
The real reason for the invention of the Internet. TalkZone.com. You're talking Illini on TalkZone. Now back to Boz and Mr. G.
We're back talking Illini. This is Boz. Mr. G's across the desk. Give us a call, 888-463-6748, like Joe from Skokie has done. Joe, how are you today?
I'm doing well. How about yourself?
Oh, I'm great. I'm great. Regardless of what Mr. G says about Groundhog Day and the weather, it's beautiful today, and I'm just thrilled we're 6-3 at the turning point.
By the way, he's got a heroin IV stuck in his arm, I think. So, but keep going, Joe.
You know, it was a little disappointing watching the two Illinois games this week, and the reason why I think they struggled so much was because of McCamey's shooting. And I feel as McCamey goes, so do the Illini, as Kendall Gill said. And if he's shooting well, there should be no reason why we can't finish strong in the Big Ten.
And yet in the second half, I don't think he made a basket in the second half, and yet we outscored Iowa by 11 points in the second half and thought, you know, we played a reasonably good half against them without a lot of offense from McCamey. How do you explain that?
How do I explain that? Because it was Iowa.
Well, you know, I'll help you out there, Joe. This goes to, you know, what Mr. G's been whining about all season. Is
By the way, whining is such an ugly term. Can't you just say that I've been pontificating about it or
about,
expressing my opinion?
Well, pontificating would have taken too long to say, but this goes back to McCamey becoming a well-rounded, diverse player, and that if he's not shooting well and scoring, yesterday he had 7 assists, no turnovers. And so he's learning as the game goes on, and we'll talk to his AAU coach, Mike Mullins, in a brief time about that also. And you got to know, if you're not on, but you know, you still run the offense, push the ball up the court, look for easy shots and look for your teammates. And he had a decent floor game yesterday, with 7 assists, no turnovers. And, so that compensated for the poor shooting and got other guys into the action.
Well, I'll say this, is that, the fact that Frazier can't shoot at all, and Meacham looks a little confused sometimes, like around the perimeter and a little apprehensive at times. And being, you know, in college basketball, it's a game where the three-point shot, you know, is that important. You know, we rely on McCamey that much for that.
I think that Meacham should consider beta blockers because he looks incredibly anxious, and it looks like he's overthinking things. We really need to figure out a way to just calm his mind and let him get back to the player he was for the first two-thirds of the season.
And Joe, did you know we had Frazier Crane in studio today, too?
I did not know that.
You know, one of the problems as I'm looking over my data here also is that, unfortunately, Legion has yet to kind of find a comfort zone and consistency and thus isn't getting the minutes. He doesn't deserve them, but... hopefully he'll, you know, start to make a few shots early, get in a groove, get some confidence, and that should help help the offense out, especially the scoring from the guard or wing position. But again, you know, if you're not hitting from the outside, I think we have good enough players. Keller, I've been pleasantly surprised with the last 3-4 ball games, has done well, but regardless of lack of strength, I think we could still go inside and get some points out of Tisdale and Davis in the paint to loosen things up a little for the outside.
You know what Iowa was able to do that I would like to see us do more of? Iowa was able to dribble penetrate against our guards, break down our guards a little bit at the end of a shot clock, and either kick to an open three-point shooter or find an inside player opened underneath. And I thought, you know, our defensive rotations were fairly poor yesterday throughout the game. Iowa got a lot of open looks from the perimeter, and they got some easy looks down low from guys who caught the ball in space around the basket without anyone near them. I'd like to see our guards be able to break it down and find shooters. We don't do that very well.
You know, another thing I want to point out is how nice it is to see Tisdale and Davis shoot free throws, and we don't have to watch Pruitt and Randall anymore on the free throw line.
Yeah, yesterday was a game that we would have definitely lost last year. We would have shot, you know, down the stretch. The game would have got to be a four-point game. We would have had guys shooting one-and-ones in that situation. It's very likely. And what did we end up shooting, about 16 for 22 on the game?
On free throws, 12 for 16.
12 for 16. So we shot at a 75% clip.
You are very good with the math.
Thank you. At a 75% clip, and quite frankly, you know, last year if we looked at our shooting percentage, which was 61%, but that's 61% of the shots we actually attempted. If you factor in the front ends of one and ones and the potential free throws that we missed, we were probably at about 55% last year. You know, 20% differential there. My guess is this is a game that we would have lost under those circumstances last year.
Well, in two games ago, the Wisconsin home game, McCamey had to make a lot of free throws at the end.
And that's the difference. And that's the difference. Last year's team could have been, you know, a team that could have been a 20-win team easily. I think that there are at least a half a dozen games last year that we lost because of free throws.
Anything else today, Joe?
That's it. Appreciate you taking my call.
Appreciate you calling, and
we'll get
maybe
your info.
We'll talk to you next
week. Yeah, well, let's get your info, Joe, and we'll send you a $25 gift certificate from Wildfire.
Hang on, and Dave will take your info.
Thank you.
Thank you, Joe. And Mr. G, in a few minutes, we'll hook up with Mike Mullins from the Illinois Wolves program.
So I've got a question for you. I went back and forth online. I don't post very often, but I posted on an Indiana thread. It was an Illinois board thread on Rivals, and it was the most delusional post ever from the Peagues board. And I raised the question on the board. I said, if we play the way that we did this week, IU will beat us in Bloomington, and it will go down as a day that will live in Illini infamy. And I caught a lot of grief for that remark, and quite frankly, you know, people think, well, this is just about the fans. It's not really about the teams. But it does impact the national perception of your team, which impacts your seeding, which impacts how well you'll do in the NCAA tournament, which impacts your recruiting. So even though this may be a fan issue, the perception of your program is important. And if we go, you know, if we go to Bloomington and let's say IU is 1-17 in the conference and their one win is against the team that uttered the infamous remark that Indiana's going to suck this year, I can only imagine the fallout and bashing that will erupt from all corners of the Big Ten and beyond. Our tournament resume would be scarred because of a loss to Indiana, and it does have a waterfall effect in all aspects. Yes, fans are very emotional, and they get charged up over issues like this, but the perception becomes a reality, and how you're perceived on a national basis is, quite frankly, a relatively emotional and subjective event.
So is there a question there for me?
No, that's just a statement.
You're absolutely right.
Do fans' opinions matter, and do they influence the perception of programs both locally and nationally as it relates to recruiting and seeding?
Well, I don't think fans' opinions matter for seeding. The people in Indianapolis or wherever they sit in the hotel room on that Sunday.
All right, do they matter for rankings? When you have a terrible loss and a coach doesn't watch a game and all they see is a score, or a writer doesn't watch a game and all they see is a score and they see that you lost to the worst team in the Big Ten by leaps and bounds, and they're going to knock you down for it. And when they knock you down for it, the seating committee is going to knock you down for it, too.
Well, I'm not sure. First of all, yes, everything you said, yeah, there's no arguing there. If Indiana's lone win in the conference on a 1-17 season, whether it's us or against anybody else, you know, people are going to, you know, that's going to be a big blemish on that team's record. Will it stop them from getting in the tournament? Probably not. If they, you know, get to 20-21 wins, will it affect their seeding? Yes. Will it affect recruiting? You know, maybe.
Well, but all these things are interconnected. They do have a waterfall effect. So if you're affected in seeding and you don't have a good tournament, does that affect your recruiting? Maybe. Well, it's all interconnected. And to just say that it's emotional and it's for the fans and there's no relationship between these emotions and these games and losing, you know, having a horrific loss and the perception of the program and the impact that it has on a program really belies the true issue, that this is a perception game. And the perception has to be that Illinois is a program that's back and that Illinois is a program on the rise. And anything that you do that weakens that perception, whether it's losing by 23 points at Minnesota and having one of the lowest point totals in Division 1A basketball this year, or losing to the worst team in the Big Ten, those are things that matter.
No question, you're absolutely right, but I don't know why we're talking about this game. It hasn't even been played yet. It's 13 days away. And we have 1, 2, 3 games before. Let's deal with it after the fact. And maybe we're talking about something that isn't even going to, hopefully we're talking about something that isn't going to be happening. All you're saying is that if we play the way that we played this week, we're going to lose some games somewhere, which is true.
And so
we won't play.
And by the way, secretly, I want Indiana to win a game before we play them at Indiana.
Well, I think we all do. But let's go down the list quickly here before we get our first guest on the line. I'm saying we're going to win 4 more games out of 9 to finish at 10-8 at the very least. You're asking me where those 4 games are coming from. We have 4 more home games: Purdue, Penn State, Minnesota, Michigan State. All very, very tough, but I think that we'll win 3 out of 4. You think we'll win? We'll go 2-2 in those.
I think we'll go 1-1 against Michigan State and Purdue, and I don't know which game we'll win and which one we'll lose. And I think we'll go 1-1 versus Minnesota and Penn State.
That being said, with the 5 road games, you think we'll only win 1, and even if we only win 2 at home, I think we'll win 2 on the road with Wisconsin, Northwestern, Indiana, Ohio State, Penn State.
See, here's what I don't understand about your prediction. How can you predict that we're going to go 3-1 at home and win 2 road games and still predict that we're only going to win 4 games? The math doesn't add up here. Either you're predicting that we're going to go 2 and we're going to win 2 games on the road and 3 games at home. That's 5 victories any way you slice it.
Right. I'm saying we're going to win 4 or 5. So we're going to be 10-8 or 11-7. I've said that all along.
Okay, but there's a contradiction on the number side there.
Well, because I don't have a crystal ball or the big funny hat with the stuff on it to in the dark room to make those kind of predictions. I just think 9 games, 4 at home, 5 on the road. We'll win 4 or 5 of them, finish.
Maybe our next guest, Mike Mullins, has a crystal ball, and he can clue us in on where he thinks the Illini will be the course of the season.
We'll get his objective viewpoint. It's our pleasure to welcome for the first time to Talking Illini with Boz and Mr. G on TalkZone.com, the founder and head coach of the Illinois Wolves AAU program, one of the top 5 in the country for the under 16, under 17 age levels the past 4 season, and players that have played in Coach Mullins' program over the years, over the last 10 years, have garnered over $4 million in scholarships to play at such distinct universities as, of course, the University of Illinois, North Carolina, Boston College, Southern Cal, Rutgers, who the other day beat DePaul, Southern Illinois, Northern Illinois, Valparaiso, and numerous others. We give a warm welcome to Mike Mullins. Coach, how are you today?
I'm doing well. Hi, guys. How are you? Thanks for having me on the show.
Oh, thanks.
Mike,
thanks
our
for
pleasure.
Coming on. So 10 years ago, you decided to start the Illinois Wolves program. Give us an idea of, you know, what were you doing before then, if you're still doing that, or the Wolves thing's a full-time job, and how all this got started for you.
I'd be happy to. The Wolves organization kind of happened by accident, not by plan. Full-time, I'm a commodity broker down at the Chicago Mercantile Exchange and had my own brokerage company, and had always been involved in basketball. I had played at Fenwick in high school with one of your former Illinois players, Neil Bresnahan, and played collegiately at St. Mary's in Minnesota. So after I got out and got married and got into business, and the good Lord blessed me with three sons, so we started running around doing all kinds of sports and soccer and football, baseball, basketball. And as the boys got more interested in basketball, we started a local group called the Nomads back then, which was third through eighth grade out in Downers Grove in the western suburbs in DuPage. And as they got older, we decided to branch out and go through the high school ages with them, and that's kind of how the Wolves came about. Just as they advanced in age, we kind of gave them another avenue to continue playing.
Have you had your first NBA player yet?
NBA, no. We had Sean Pruitt and Ollie Bailey. Our first graduates just graduated last year, because we started the Wolves with sixth grade players.
Do you look back at the experience you've had with some of these kids and ask yourself, well, gee, maybe this wasn't the right fit for this kid? Is there any kid who would, if you had it to do over again, you would have said, I wish he would have gone somewhere else?
No, because I think they all made the best decisions for themselves with their families at the time. And there's no crystal ball between injuries and coaching changes and different recruits coming in that, you know, it's an educated guess in the best scenario.
So a kid like Bobby Frazier, if he had it to do over again, you think he still should have gone to North Carolina?
Yes, I think his injuries the last couple of years have really taken away. People forget that Bobby was an all-ACC freshman team and started every game and played very well and really had a promising future. And subsequent to that, the last couple of years, he's tried to battle his way through injuries that I think he got less than 20 games in 2 years. And, you know, he's coming off a serious ACL injury this year. And that's the tough part about sports. You never ask for those injuries to come. And he played just enough where he wasn't able to get a medical redshirt out of those 2 years.
Mike, let's talk Illini now, and the first guy on our list, of course, is Dimitri McCamey. I saw him play at St. Joe's, and the fans love Dimitri, good and bad. You know, I think he's improved greatly. I think he had a very good freshman year, better than most people thought. But tell us what he has to do to keep getting better, maybe to get the Illini to the Final Four, and maybe to get himself into the NBA.
I think Coach Weber and the staff have done a great job developing Dimitri, both on and off the court. And he's a kid that was making a transition on the basketball court. Really, when he started playing for us, he had been a center power forward through junior high and his early high school days because of, obviously, his strength and his body that he could bang inside. And we helped him transition to becoming a perimeter player. He's made incredible progress in a short period of time doing that. But, you know, his consistency, his effort, continuing to work hard in practice, playing through tiredness and fatigue and things like that are all things that he continually has to keep an eye on. And if he does that, I think his best basketball is ahead of him for himself and for the Illinois team.
Is he solely now Coach Weber's, or does he give you a call once in a while? Do you talk to him?
I think we're all in contact on a regular basis.
Okay, great. And of course, Dimitri's little brother got hurt was it last year or in the off season, and he hasn't played this year, but he's a terrific player, also had a terrific game, I remember, last year against St. Pat's. Tell us how DeAndre's doing and what level he might wind up at next year.
Dre actually just started playing in the past couple of weeks. Coach Pignatore is bringing him along slowly, bringing him off the bench, playing him some spot minutes here or there just as he gets comfortable off it. He had surgery last June, so he's on schedule, but everybody we've talked to says it takes about a year for him to fully recover from the surgery that he had, and he's undergoing that process now. He's a great kid, a tremendous work ethic, and you know, I think as people see him out on this coming July in the evaluation tournaments and see that he's healthy, you know, he's a high major prospect. And people are waiting to make sure that he can prove that to them physically, and that they can see that with their own eyes.
Okay, so I saw him play last year, and on the same St. Joe team was Diamond Taylor, who I think was in your program also, correct? And
yes, he was.
Diamond's moved from St. Joe to Bolingbrook, and he's going to be going to Wisconsin next year. Tell us, compare the two of their game. And do you and I guess you're saying DeAndre can get a high-level scholarship like Diamond.
Yes. Well, I think Diamond is a scoring combo guard. He really looks to attack offensively. That's the greatest difference, where Dre is a pure point guard. Dre looks to get people involved. He can create for himself and others. He's more of a lockdown defender than Diamond is at this point. But, you know, Diamond's a kid that can score in a variety of ways, and really that's been his focus, not only on his high school teams, but with us, with the Wolves, is, you know, to kind of be a leading scorer type guy.
If you could pick five players from the class of 2009, both committed and uncommitted players who played in your program or not, and start a college team with them, what five would you pick?
From the 2009 class?
2009 class.
From Illinois.
From Illinois.
From Illinois. I think Coach Weber did a pretty good job of that.
Well, that's good to hear.
I think he did a pretty good job of that. I think he picked up some of the best guards and wings that the state had to offer. And
who would you supplement it with? If you could pick three more players who Coach Weber didn't pick, who would you pick?
From 09, I think a kid like Matt Vogrich, who can really shoot the ball and is athletic, has really come a long way. And just to kind of balance that class, he's you know, provides a different type of player than some of the kids that they already have. And you know, I know they have a lot of depth in young big guys and Mike Tisdale and guys like that, but I don't think you can have enough of those. It wasn't a great year for big guys in Illinois. But
what about guys like Cooley or Mills or even Darius Smith?
You just took the words out of my mouth. I think Jack Cooley would be, you know, would have been a great addition to any program.
And Mills and Smith?
I think John Mills is a little bit undersized for the Big Ten level, but he might be the hardest working player in high school right now.
See, I think a kid like Mills will play anywhere. And you know, you see guys like him, whether it was Sergio McLean at 6'3". You know, so there's some kids who are 6'3", 6'4", that just impose their will on a game, and they can make a difference anywhere.
Right. Well, I think Mills and a kid like Lenzel Smith are two kids that are similar mode, but Lenzel has a little more further advanced perimeter game than John does right now. John is just a terrific warrior underneath the boards, and he just has a lot further to go to play on the perimeter at a college level.
So if you were recruiting right now and you had a choice to put Darius Smith on your team or Joseph Bertrand, who would you take?
Oh, I would. You know, I'm obviously biased. I would take Joseph at 6'6". He's got pro potential, great handles, and he's just got so much upside left to him that as he's growing into his body, I mean, he came to us at 6'1.5", 6'2". A few years ago, and he just continues to stretch out, and he's got handles and can shoot, and the stuff that he's missing is going to come with time.
Joseph's one of the guys, you know, you mentioned Coach Weber did a great job, and you hear more about Brandon Paul and DJ Richardson, and we're glad that you came on because we wanted to hear more about Joseph. When we ask about those three guards to people and strengths and weaknesses and how they differ or how they're similar, the first thing people say is out of the three of them, Joseph, you know, can be a point guard, and that's what we might need certainly to back up Dimitri and when Dimitri's gone in 2 years.
Well, I think that's accurate, and to have that type of size, I mean, I'll date myself and show my age, but you go back to somebody like Bobby Wilkinson at Indiana to have a 6'7 guy who could run point, guard three or four different positions.
Or Steve Bardo at Illinois.
Steve Bardo at Illinois. You know, those are pretty good role models to follow, and, you know, we've talked to Joseph about guys like that. That's a niche that he can present that would be a difficult matchup for a lot of teams on a scouting report.
How many minutes do you think he might get next year?
Well, I think that depends on his advancement, like everybody, and the adjustment to the college game. It comes at different speeds for everybody. And it also depends on how, you know, who comes back and what kind of you know, off seasons the returning players have, and that they all do return.
Let's go on to the 2011 class, the current high school sophomores. Tracy Abrams has made a verbal commitment to U of I. You have Chasen Randall in your program, correct?
Yes, I do.
Tell us a little bit about Chasen, where his thoughts are now, when he might commit, and if you think he'd be a good running partner with Abrams.
I think Chasen is a terrific player, as is Tracy. I think Chasen is another kid who's continuing to add length and expand his game. He's not as physically strong as Tracy is right now, and that'll come with age and maturity and weight room work. Chasen is multi-talented, and he's another kid that can score the ball at will, but he could also run a team for you, which that versatility is very valuable for any program. With regards to his recruitment, you know, I know he's very, very high in Illinois. They've done a great job recruiting him. Most of the Big Ten schools have offered him already. And, you know, he just began his sophomore year, and I don't think he's as far down the line as Tracy was with being ready to make a commitment, right now. But, he's made a few visits to Illinois, and I know he plans on coming back again and trying to catch another game before the year's over.
Explain your role in the recruiting process. I guess it might differ for each kid and how their family wants to go about it, or how much, you know, input or control they want to take. But, you know, in a normal situation, where does the AAU coach get involved?
Well, I think you hit it on the head. You get involved as much or as little as the family and the network of support they come in with provide them. And when they're not knowledgeable about the process or need additional help, not only myself but the other guys who coach in the program who have played college ball and have coached high school or college, we try to be there and filter the information for them and give them enough information to make an educated choice. But every kid is different, whether they come from a single-parent home or dual-parent or whether they have a lot of basketball experience within their family or had children go through the process before. So we kind of take it case by case.
Another name that has come up recently in the 2011 class is the 6'9". Does he play center or forward for St. Ignatius? Help me with his name. I know he's in your program also, Mike.
Yes, Nana Egwa from St. Ignatius. He's a 6'9 center, sophomore, and he's been playing basketball for, you know, less than 2 years right now. Just began playing as a freshman in high school. And he's came in at about 6'5", 6'6", and continues to grow. And very naturally athletic, runs the floor well, soft hands, good feet, good lift. He's going to be a very, very hot prospect, you know, in a short term here as he continues to progress. He's had a very solid season for St. Ignatius. He had a broken ankle to start the year, so He's really just getting into the regular rotation now, and we look forward to his development. And the coaches there, Rick Kehoe, does a great job developing players at St. Ignatius as well.
Has he received any offers yet?
Wisconsin was the first one to offer him.
Okay, they were the first. Has anyone else offered him?
He has some mid-major offers, and he'll continue to garner those as he's going out. As you know, 6'9 guys are at a premium, particularly when they're athletic.
I mean, you deal a lot with assistant coaches. I believe it's Howard Moore at Wisconsin, and also Jarence Howard at Illinois. I don't know who the prime recruiter is at SIU, but you're dealing with these guys. What are their strengths and weaknesses? Who do you like out there, and who relates well to coaches and players?
I think the coaches that you just mentioned, Jarence and Howard, I've known longer just because he's been doing it longer. They all have their own style, and I think the most important thing is that you deal with a coach and that they're being honest with you about their evaluation of the player from your program, as well as where they would fit into their program. And when they just concentrate on their strengths, their personality, you develop a relationship over a period of time, like we've done with numerous programs throughout the country.
I mean, you look at those three programs in particular. Illinois had kind of their comeuppance year last year, where it was very difficult on the staff. Wisconsin's going through that this year, as well as SIU. How do they deal with that, and how do they mitigate the perception that the program is not doing well and in a downswing?
I think it's harder for the fans to mitigate the perception of upswings and downswings than it is the staff. They realize that there's a lot of things that go on to, and the difference between a successful season and a not successful one is very slight. And, when you have a very strong team that carries on for a few years, there's an obvious rebuilding or reloading process, as those players have usually eaten up a lot of minutes over those 2-3 year periods. And all those schools kind of went through those things. And chemistry and injuries are big parts of the equation as well. And, being a trader for a living, I fully understand that life has ups and downs. And you look at a long-term track record, not a couple months here or there, determine how good a program is and how solid the foundation is.
You've traveled with these kids now across the country to all these tournaments, and you just mentioned the terrific class that's coming into Illinois next year. With that class and what you know of the verbals for 2010, Jeremy Richmond, Crandall Head, Myers Leonard, are these guys, coupled with Dimitri and the sophomore class there, capable of getting to the Final Four in 2 years?
I would think that that would be their goals after, winning the Big Ten tournament and going forward. And, I think a lot of that is who you draw and where you get to play them at and things like that. But I'm a big believer in that if you can play in the state of Illinois, that equates that you can play anybody anywhere in the country at any time. And I think through the travel programs and the high school programs, the competitiveness of it throughout the state of Illinois, our players tend to do well, whether they're staying here or going, to the West Coast or East Coast to play. You don't have to apologize for the state of Illinois basketball players anywhere.
I think there was just a recent poll that was done either at Sports Illustrated or ESPN, where Illinois came in second of all the basketball states in the United States in terms of the quality of play and the number of players produced for the college level and the pro level.
It would be second or first, and I'd be one who would rate it first. It's a tremendous state for basketball, and the one thing I know through the time that I've done this and traveled around the country with these guys, and our high school teams do well, our travel teams do well, you're in the finals or championships everywhere, and when the players leave, they obviously have had a lot of success collegiately and at the NBA level, and consistently. It's not a once-in-a-while thing, and Illinois should be very proud of the basketball talent that it produces.
You've seen DJ Richardson quite often. You know, we haven't seen him much this year because he's playing out in Las Vegas. What are your impressions of Richardson and what he's going to bring to the Illini next year?
I think DJ is a tremendously mature player, more so than most high school players. And his desire to win and his versatility is going to allow him to, you know, be a major contributor, you know, early in his college career. You know, physically he's ready, mentally he's ready, skill-wise. He'll be ready, and as he continues to develop those, the sky's the ceiling for him. He's a terrific ball player.
Who would be the better point guard right now, he or Joseph?
I think Joseph is more of a facilitator right now than DJ. Defensively, I think DJ is ahead of Joseph on that.
I've contended that I don't think Dimitri is a pure point. I really think he's more of a natural two with decent passing skills. Will he ever become that pure point?
Yeah, you know, like I said, he's been playing point guard for less than 4 years now, and it's a big advantage for kids that grow up playing that position. It's kind of like becoming a quarterback later on in life. I think that's his position at the next level when he gets the opportunity to try that. But he's made great strides, and I think there's a fine line with everybody playing three guards offenses these days, where it's been very, very successful for Coach Weber and Illinois, and most of the teams in college are playing those three guard lineups, where what you see called what used to be a true point doesn't exist a whole lot anymore.
Give me the scouting report on Darius Smith. A lot has been said about him, and he's probably the best uncommitted player left in the state of Illinois.
Right. Darius is, to me, by far the best perimeter defender in the state right now. He's got a very, very big heart, really litters the stat sheet with rebounds and steals and deflections, and has a great ability to take the ball to the rim. I think he needs to improve his mid-range and extend his range in shooting. But as far as running a team and keeping another point guard out of the lane, things like that, he certainly is the best prospect left in the state.
Where do you expect him to end up?
Well, I've heard a lot of things, but I've never banked on where a kid's going until you hear him say it, because I've heard a lot of surprises, particularly when I'm not involved on a day-to-day basis in the recruiting. But he's going to be a high major player.
Coach, we got a few minutes left. We want to thank you for taking some time out to talk Illini today on TalkZone.com. This is your opportunity to plug your program, the Illinois Wolves, and also tell us how, is this Core One training, is that part of the Wolves or something separate that you just kind of team up with them?
That's something that's one of our sponsors that helps us offset the cost of traveling around the country, and they're kind enough to help train our kids physically, to give them a little bit of taste of what college strength and plyometric training is like. And they've done a great job out in the DuPage area since they've been started. And with the program in general, like I said, we're all volunteers. None of us does it for a living. We try to make sure that we provide a positive environment for all the kids to play. And I'm fortunate enough to be able to coach with my friends and do the program with a lot of people that have become lifelong friends.
Now, I've always enjoyed watching your son, who's playing for Lowry at SIU, and just a hard-nosed kid who understands the fundamentals of the game. Give us an update on him and his progress.
Brian is having a great, had a great career so far at Southern Illinois, and he's battled some injuries this year, and kind of got to be careful with those, and we'll be looking to try to get him through the season healthy if we can. But, they're a very young team, very similar to Illinois was last year, trying to play 6-7 freshmen out of 9 guys. And, they'll keep battling. That's what he does, and he's had a great career there, and he's enjoyed every moment of it.
Listen, we've got a lot of respect for what you do and how you do it. You do things the right way, Mike. We really appreciate you coming on the show today, and we look forward to seeing you on and about the AAU circuit this year, and also maybe at an Illini game in the future.
We'll be out there cheering for them, and thank you for taking the time to have me on, and wish you guys and Coach and the staff a tremendous February and a long run in March.
Thank you very much, Mike.
Thanks, Mike.
We'll be back in a moment after these words from our sponsors.
Don't put off the things you should do today. Start a financial plan with AXA Advisors. AXA, financial protection. For more information, call Stephen King, financial consultant, 847-291-3669. That's 847-291-3669. Securities and investment advisory services offered through AXA Advisors, LLC, 212-314-4600. Member FINRA, SIPC.
The award-winning SunTracker Swivel Beach Chair is the only folding beach chair that swivels a complete 360 degrees. So whether you're basking in the sun or just watching the kids, you'll never need to get up to adjust to the optimal position. It's lightweight and folds to only 6 inches wide, so it's perfect for the beach, tailgate parties, sporting events, and more. Anywhere you take a folding chair, you'll want to take the SunTracker. To learn more or to order yours today, visit suntracker.com. Or call 888-786-8725. SunTracker, the ultimate swivel beach chair. A proud sponsor of Talking Illini with Boz and Mr. G. Check it out at suntracker.com.
You find the car you want at RizzoCars.com. RizzoCars.com.
It's true. We'll find the car you want at RizzaCars.com. Over 6,000 new and used cars, trucks, and vans available online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It's so fast and so easy. RizzaCars.com is your one-stop auto purchase resource site. Build a new vehicle, compare up to 5 vehicles at once, access new vehicle reviews, take a new car video test drive. RizzaCars.com also offers easy-to-qualify online financing, which helps to make your purchase simple and fast. Shop 13 new car franchises, including Ford, Chevy, Cadillac, Buick, Lincoln, Mercury, Acura, Porsche, Kia, Hummer, and Saab. So if you're tired and frustrated of driving from dealer to dealer, just remember,
you'll find the car you want at RizzoCars.com.